echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 9, Ubiquitous APIs and Clouds. Today, we'll discuss how enterprises are increasingly adopting an API-first strategy that connects services across hybrid and multi-cloud environments to drive modernization and develop new customer experiences faster. Hello, I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud, and welcome to That Digital Show. Thank you all for listening. Joining us today is Parna Bhattacharya, head of our customer success in Japan and Asia Pacific, and Balakasi Vichwanathan, head of our product management for Google Cloud's business application platform team. Parna, APIs are everywhere. And because of that, I believe we can agree that most enterprises have a basic API strategy. But one of the biggest shifts we've seen in the last few years is this move from a basic API strategy to an API-first strategy. Why is this change so important?
Very true, Chris. These days, when we engage with our customers across the region, we're no longer explaining the relevance of APIs and why are APIs important. So all organizations that we work with, they have an API strategy. But over the last few years, what we are seeing is that there is a shift towards API-first approach, whether it's building new ecosystems or participating in existing ecosystems with their partners. For example, integrations with supplier and buyer systems, or integration with logistics and delivery providers, or even in certain cases, monetizing their existing data and services for business. Let me take an example. Ticketmaster, who is a customer of ours, they sell tickets across multiple partner channels. They have not restricted their business to their own websites and apps. And we are seeing this trend continue even for internal systems such as back office apps or employee apps, like, for example, time entry. We are seeing customers encouraging reusability to accelerate the pace of innovation within their organization. And one of our customers, actually, they say it really well. They call it democratizing app development with citizen developers. So giving the power of innovation in the hands of developers. So we are seeing that APIs are everywhere. They are ubiquitous, as you said, but they are also the first thing that the customers are thinking about and not used as an afterthought.
Maybe we should take a quick step back and really define what does API first mean?
In my opinion, API first means when customers are thinking about the end user experience, whether it's for partners or even for their internal developers, what is the experience that they want to give to their consumers, and then starting the journey from an outside-in approach and thinking about what is required to give that experience, and then talk about the various backend systems that needs to be integrated or multiple APIs that needs to be mashed up together. So rather than thinking, okay, I have this data and I need to expose this data as it is, thinking about the consumer experience first, and that consumer can be your internal developer community. It can be your partners or ecosystem that you're participating in.
And Bala, when we think about building ecosystems or this experience that we're trying to define from the outside in, or maybe if we look at common CEO initiatives like innovation or revenue growth, is hybrid a means to help them execute these strategies?
So first of all, I think hybrid is a means to the end. Like that something else is driving the enterprise or the customer to get some outcomes, and hybrid becomes a way to get there. And the typical things I've seen customers talk about is that they already have existing systems, but they're trying to really come up with a new customer experience or a new application for their customers. And this could be like, for example, a bank has decided that their current mobile app is a generation old and they need to really change the way the customers experience banking. And they're going to redo that. Like, how do you redo that fast and iterate faster? That can only be done in the cloud. Or they have a new way of building partnerships with different companies. And how do they do that faster? They have to have APIs, and that, again, if they can do something with API management and extend their services through APIs to other partners, they can go faster. So if you look at those kind of initiatives, they always lead to what you talked about, which is, number one, is it helping grow their customers? Are the customers satisfied? And more importantly, are they able to drive new revenue or new channel for activating more revenue? the ability to scale faster in the cloud, which is always going to be the case, what we call as a good catastrophe, right? Which is they suddenly get popular, they get a huge amount of traffic, huge number of customers. Cloud is the place to go and scale very easily. But ultimately, they are doing these things to really make sure that they have more customers or happier customers or activating revenue through new channel.
Aparna, this speed Bala just mentioned, whether in the cloud or through an API-first approach, is probably more critical today than ever before, especially as we see healthcare providers, as an example, developing new services and frictionless access to data. What are some of the stories that you have?
Very true, Chris. I think in the world that we are living in today, which has been turned upside down with COVID, an example that comes to my mind is Dr. Anywhere. It's a Southeast Asian customer that provides telemedicine services with locally registered doctors, and the medication is delivered to the customer's doorstep. So according to the chief technology officer of Dr. Anywhere, they have mentioned that they have seen a 70% increase in traffic on their telehealth application since the coronavirus outbreak. And it becomes more and more important for them to deliver frictionless access to users and partners on the Dr. Anywhere app. Essentially, their entire business is driven by this application, which of course is powered by APIs.
Yeah, it's impressive to start thinking about, you know, it's in their name, Dr. Anywhere. Well, yeah. There's APIs everywhere. And we're seeing these trends start to materialize globally around data and organization of data and distributing it in new and interesting ways. But there's other trends that we're seeing out there as well, right? So what are some of these other trends around adoption of an API-first strategy or moving into the cloud that you're seeing?
So I think the second trend that we have observed over the last few years is the transitioning into cloud itself. So most large organizations that we are talking to, they have already started their journey of moving workloads to the cloud. And a lot of them choose multiple clouds for various reasons like resiliency, disaster recovery. There are compliance regulatory aspects as well. But meanwhile, the on-premise technologies that these organizations have, they continue to be extremely relevant and a key part of their technical stack. Google had conducted an adoption survey recently, where we found that almost 59% of the customers are modernizing their technical stack technologies like Kubernetes. But most of that is not lift and shift. They are not lifting and shifting their workloads. They are also modernizing them on the way. And when we talk about modernizing a technical stack, APIs again play a critical role there. Another report that we have seen from McKinsey talks about 9 out of 10 enterprises are opting for multiple clouds. But they still have almost 75% of their workload on-premise. So Apigee has an important role to play, or any API management solution and API management platform has an important role to play to support the transitioning of cloud from on-premise workloads to the cloud by ensuring, again, the end-user experience is not compromised. So we spoke about thinking about outside in when we talk about API-first strategy. Keeping the same thought in mind, transitioning to cloud does not impact the end user experience, making sure that organizations have the power to unlock the value of their existing data through APIs is becoming a reality. So I'm saying the multi-cloud and hybrid are becoming more and more real for enterprises.
That disruption you're talking about is critical, obviously, right? We don't want businesses to be disrupted either for their own business or as they're trying to make these modernization efforts happen. But Bala, when we are thinking about hybrid or multi-cloud and looking at the C-level executive mindset, what should they understand most about hybrid or this transition?
So I would start with a C-level executive thinking about what kind of problems they're trying to solve. And I think most of the executives at customer side talk to, they are really looking at saying, I am trying to go and build a lot of applications in the cloud, but I have a lot of existing systems on-premises or in colo data centers. And how do I get to a place where I'm able to manage all this transition smoothly, right? That's the problem they have. And when people are trying to go to the cloud, I think what I've seen a lot of customers struggle with is that, what is the right sequence of things? Mm-hmm. And where we come in and help them is to say that, look, the reality is most of the customers are going to have presence in multiple public clouds and on-premises. And by nature, Now it begs the question, like, how do I manage all of these different disparate instances of infrastructure in a consistent fashion? And that's why we have a solution which allows them to manage this in a consistent fashion. First step through API management and also through Anthos, which is our GCP hybrid offering. But I always start with what customer problem is being solved. And for them, it's about consistency and transition into the cloud world.
And Parna, I was thinking about a bank recently that I talked with who is also going through some of these struggles in terms of trying to identify how they can get to market faster, clearly being disrupted, especially with COVID. And they're seeing a decline, a major decline of people coming into their branches. And now they're lifting and shifting, as you mentioned earlier, all of their traffic into the cloud in order to be able to satisfy their customers' needs. But you're seeing this also in APAC, right?
Absolutely, Chris. I think APAC has some unique challenges. An example that comes to mind is Bank BRI, which is a bank in Indonesia. They're leveraging APIs to accelerate financial inclusion in Indonesia for more than 59 million Indonesians. And a way that they're doing that is by providing paperless bank loan approval. The disbursement of loan takes only a few minutes from a few weeks, leveraging APIs. Executive Vice President Casper has told us that Apigee has become the central nervous system of all communications between the digital core banking, the microservices, the front end, and the apps. Apigee is essentially a key part of making sure that these 59 million Indonesians that they're talking about has access to banks and loans as they required.
And then, of course, I think if we go back to the opening where we said APIs are everywhere, then it also makes sense that APIs are running across multiple clouds. We've touched on that a little bit. But what other areas? Are we seeing APIs in multiple clouds across distributed and decentralized environments? What is that looking like in some of the customers you've talked to?
As we spoke about, that because APIs are everywhere and we are seeing the trend of customers adopting multiple clouds, but still having a large portion of their technical stack and key core systems still on-premise, SaaS-only API management would not be enough to cater for the futuristic large enterprise needs. So this is something we realized a few years back. So Apigee's hybrid deployment model helps our customers to manage all APIs wherever they are, whether it's on Google Cloud, it's on any other cloud, or it's on-premise. Our fundamental principle is that all APIs needs a level of API management, and we want to make sure that we are reaching the customer's APIs wherever they are. So Apigee Hybrid is a new deployment option from existing global leading full lifecycle API platform. It is not a new product. Apigee is a battle-hardened product which is being used by thousands of customers across all key verticals globally.
And Bala, are we seeing the difference between on-prem and hybrid being a blocker to innovation?
Yeah, so I think there are two ways to think about this. One is if you look at, let's take an example of an insurance provider, and let's say that they've been in business for the last 50, 60 years, and they happen to be on-premises. On one hand, you can say, oh my God, you on-premises, you're going to be really slow to change and sure. do things. Or the other way to think about it is like, oh, wow, you've got a wealth of data here and a lot of value in what you have, except that it's locked up on-premises. So step number one we tell them is that how about you have some way to expose that value and that data through APIs. And once you do that, you can go and experiment and iterate and find out different ways of actually making your customers get benefit from that data and value, or partners from getting benefit from that data and value, right? And once you get that established, then it's a question of when and how you move that on-premises data or on-premises system to cloud. And the good news is that once you have an API management layer which abstracts it, the customers and the applications that are using the APIs don't care whether the backend systems are on-premises or in the cloud. So you get more flexibility over a period of time to do that. So it's never about the cart before the horse, but really you're solving for the problem first and then making sure you transition your on-premises to the cloud at the right time once you see the value.
Parna, why is this so relevant in Japan and Asia Pacific?
We have been working with a few large banks in India and Thailand who have leveraged Apigee's hybrid offering for their enterprise-wide API management needs. And these APIs are for external users like payment APIs or even for internal APIs for point-to-point integration. And hybrid would give them one control plane, one visibility across all APIs in the organization. So in terms of trends in Japan and Asia Pacific, I would say there are a couple of key scenarios that the customers are trying to cater to. First of all, the compliance and regulatory requirements. So there are regulations in some countries like Taiwan, Thailand, and even in Australia that requires government and financial institutions to have multiple cloud strategy. Or there are data residency laws that can be met with the hybrid deployment model. So the second scenario that we can cater to with hybrid is having a single API platform that meets all the external API requirement, but also the low latency and high performance use cases, while having a single control plane and single visibility across all deployments, enabling the business and the product owners to take a data-driven decision. So they have a view of all their APIs inside a really large, complex enterprise. Also, ensuring that the API calls does not leave the customer's network meets unique security demands of large organizations, and especially around regulated industries. So the InfoSec conversation, the network security conversations and requirements are met easily. The data governance becomes much simpler in these scenarios. And finally, another trend that I have observed is the high availability and disaster recovery and resilience. That is also becoming a common need as customers are putting their mission-critical APIs on an API platform. Disaster recovery and high availability is a key requirement. And hybrid allows customers to easily add another failover data center, whether they choose to be in another cloud or on-premise, that can be done. For example, we have seen customers in Japan who have deployed Apigee in multiple clouds to ensure that they can guarantee 5-9 availability between multiple clouds. And that is a requirement that they had from their internal regulations.
So every week we are presented with a question from one of our listeners. We call it the question of the day. So here's our question of the day. Which skill set is required to run Apigee Hybrid?
Well, that's a great question, Chris. I have heard this a few times, even recently. One of the key requirements for running Apigee Hybrid would be a level of Kubernetes experience. So Kubernetes experience is required to manage and maintain the runtime components of the platform. So a basic knowledge of creating Kubernetes clusters and understanding YAML template is required. Of course, Apigee would be providing example templates and also a large amount of auto-scaling once the initial deployment is done has been automated. Of course, that's the reason it's called auto-scaling. But still, having a few people who understands Kubernetes would be required. The good news is that Google is a Kubernetes expert shop. And there are self-paced and classroom training courses available for upskilling our customers' teams on Kubernetes, Hybrid, and Anthos. We also have a very strong network of partners globally who can be leveraged to bootstrap the team to begin with as they start their journey towards Apigee Hybrid.
And Bala, there's a big cultural change in this. Sometimes it might come from the top down, but sometimes there may also be some concerns around these skill gaps, or maybe a better understanding of what API first is in the organization. Can hybrid help bridge some of these gaps?
The way I would think about this is that when we think about skills gap, I think it's always boils down to we are all in a very competitive market when you're looking for skills. And the number one advantage of having a cloud provider take care of a set of things for you is you don't have to go and invest the limited resources you can get and the talent pool you're getting or fighting for applied on the problems which are already solved. So the way you want to look at a cloud provider is that, for example, if you come to Google Cloud and you're using GKE, what you're doing is you're automatically getting a service which is best at managing containers. And it's a managed Kubernetes service. So you don't have to actually employ a lot of people who have to be experts in Kubernetes and manage and orchestrate containers for you. So to me, that's the point at which you start, which is that what are the skill sets which are core to my business and how can I really focus effectively on getting skills from people to affect that piece and not worry about the other 80%, which actually I can get from a cloud provider. So that approach, I think, is the best approach, number one. Number two, in some cases, we also have seen that when you have applications which have been around for some time, there is a challenge in getting actually the right skill set. So the question is, you need to modernize that application and you have skills for modernizing the application, but you don't have skills to actually maintain and iterate on that old application. So hybrid and the set of technologies we provide with both API management and Anthos allows you to actually say, well, how do I start with the current application in a manner where I can continue to serve my customers while parallelly I start to refactor that entire application in a modern framework or a modern technology stack that allows me to now use my skill set better, because that's a skill set which will stay with you, which will maintain the code, which will update the application and have a longer life.
And for somebody who's looking to create a successful multi-cloud strategy, what are some of the things that they should be focused on?
Number one is, what is the business outcome that you're trying to drive to, right? I would start with that, because like in any other IT project, if we're not very clear about what is the outcome we want, then the project becomes for technology's sake, which is where most of the failures happen, number one. Number two is, what is the best and the shortest way to get a win? And here's where I would say that we got to be very thoughtful about which parts can remain on-premises, which parts need to be in the cloud, and how do you use all the tooling and technology we provide, for example, from Google, be it Anthos or be it Apigee's API management with hybrid capabilities, to get to that place without having to move everything to the cloud right away, number two. And number three is really thinking about, once you've established outcomes, you're seeing the impact. Number three is to really focus on, which pieces do you really now start to kind of modernize in place and migrate over a period of time and have a clear plan of that. So those would be the three ways I would do it. So be clear about your outcomes, have an initial strategy to get the benefit from a hybrid capabilities that we offer, and then have an approach towards how do you, over a period of time, modernize in place or migrate so that you get the benefit of cloud over a period of time.
Great. Thank you both. I appreciate your time. Thank you, Bala. Thank you, Parna.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. It's a pleasure.
And thanks to all of you who are listening. If you'd like to learn more about the show, visit thatdigitalshow.com, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and then share the link with your network, coworkers, and teams so they can transform and grow their business as well. If you have questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another digital transformation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.